The Reverend Dr. Fred Craddock, author, preacher, and renowned professor at Candler School of Theology at Emory, on more than one occasion has told about the time he was serving as a guest lecturer at a seminary on the West Coast when an eager student stood up in the middle of his presentation and asked him, "Are you a Pentecostal?" The room grew silent. Craddock says he glanced around the room for his host, the dean of the school, or anyone that might serve as moderator, and asked the student to hold his questions until the end of the lecture. But no help was to be found. The student persisted, and realizing he was on his own, Dr. Craddock responded to the young man, "Do you mean, do I belong to the Pentecostal church?" "No," the student said. "I mean, are you Pentecostal?" "Are you asking me if I am a charismatic?" Again, the student replied, "No, I am asking you if you are Pentecostal." Although frustration was beginning to mount, Craddock continued to seek clarification. "Do you want to know if I speak in tongues?" The student was adamant. "I want to know if you are Pentecostal." Finally, in exasperation, Dr. Craddock stated, "I don't know what your question is." The student retorted, "Obviously, you are not Pentecostal." And with that, the man walked out of the lecture hall. Today, we observe the day of Pentecost. Pentecost means 50th day and is celebrated 50 days after Easter Sunday, with a great festival marking the birth of the Christian church as delivered by the power of the Holy Spirit. As one of the seven principal feasts of the church year in the Episcopal Church, the Book of Common Prayer identifies today as one of the feasts especially appropriate for baptism, and we had two this morning. The spirit of Pentecost is made manifest through our beautiful liturgy, accentuated by the abundant use of the color red, aiding us in recalling the tongues of flame in which the Holy Spirit descended on that first Pentecost, punctuated through our incorporation of celebratory music, commemorated through the rite of baptism and First Communion, and through highlighting the gifts and talents of our very own parishioners. Thankfully, there are no snakes, and the closest we get to speaking in tongues is trying to understand a Southern priest's accent in Ohio. But for the most part, all those things are about what Pentecost is, as it is described, observed, and recorded, and fails to communicate what it means to and for us individually, as I believe the student was trying to implore of Dr. Craddock. In other words, what does it mean to be Pentecostal? Believe it or not, we Episcopalians are called to be a Pentecostal people. We hear this in our readings for today in the lesson from Acts, where the people are called to prophesy, speaking in their own native languages about God's deeds and amazing power. And in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, to utilize the variety of gifts given to us by the Spirit for a variety of services. And then again, in the Gospel of John, having received the Holy Spirit, to rejoice in the Lord and to seek and offer forgiveness. Our task is not only to recall the first Pentecost, but to personally receive the Holy Spirit, renew the Spirit that is within us, recall the presence of Christ, and remember what it means to be a people alive in the Spirit, and thereby act. If you've ever been here at St. Patrick's for baptism with Father Stephen, you will recall that following the commitments made by the baptismal candidate and/or their representative parents and godparents, All together, we recite the baptismal covenant, beginning by heartily stating what we believe. Father Stephen then stands at the top of the crossing and calls out, "Now that I know what you believe, what are you going to do about it?" Which perhaps is another way of asking, how are you going to fully embody this gift given to you by Christ crucified and risen? The light of Christ has come into the world, and that flame, that Pentecostal fire, has been passed to you. Now what are you going to do with it? I will be the first to admit receiving the gift of Pentecost can be awkward as we fumble and begin to make our way into this new way of being. It can be intimidating. We can feel unworthy or inadequate in our ability to use the gifts we have been given. And it can be difficult to respond to the now what when we're uncertain of the how. I think Rainer Rilke, in his poem entitled The Swan, describes it well when he writes, "This clumsy living that moves lumbering as if in ropes through what is not done reminds us of the awkward way the swan walks. And to die, which is the letting go of the ground we stand on and cling to every day, is like the swan when he nervously lets himself down into the water, which receives him gaily and which flows joyfully under and after him, wave after wave, while the swan, unmoving and marvelously calm, is pleased to be carried, each moment more fully grown, more like a king, further and further on." Benedictine monk David Steindl Rast is quoted as saying, "You are like Rilke's swan and his awkward waddling across the ground. The swan doesn't cure his awkwardness by beating himself on the back, by moving faster, or trying to organize himself better. He does it by moving toward the elemental water where he belongs. It is the simple contact with the water that gives him grace and presence. You only have to touch the elemental waters in your own life, and it will transform everything. But you have to let yourself down into those waters from the ground on which you stand, and that can be hard, particularly if you think you might drown. Let go of all this effort and let yourself down, however awkwardly, into the waters. As we go down into the baptismal waters and die to sin, letting go of the ground on which we stand, so that with Christ we may begin again in new life in him, we become like the swan on the water, trusting our guide and our Redeemer that the Spirit of God will keep us afloat. When we respond to God's call and the gifts bestowed upon us by the Holy Spirit at our baptism, a new fire is kindled that reanimates that which is already existing within us and beckons us to new directions. We are offered a radically new way of being as we center our lives on God being transformed into a new creation, even if we're a little awkward and waddly at first. Sometimes what is needed is a little shove from the Holy Spirit into those elemental waters to get you swimming, urging us forward to relentlessly engage in the manifestation of our gifts, to be a Pentecostal people.